Jessica Strausser is with me in the studio tonight. She's one of our very talented and very busy fellow Cincinnatians. She's editor-at-large for Writer's Digest, author of the novels Almost Missed You, named to Barnes & Noble's Best New Fiction shortlist, Not That I Could Tell You, a Book of the Month selection for March 2018, and her latest novel, Forget You Know Me, which we'll talk about tonight. Added to all that, she has been named 2019 Writer-in-Residence for the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County. And I am delighted you had time to visit us tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back. It's always great to be here.
So let's jump right into Forget You Know Me, because you really do catch our attention immediately. The two main narrators of this novel are Molly and Liza. And what are they doing, and what happens as the novel begins?
So Molly and Liza are best friends who have become long-distance best friends. Molly lives here in Cincinnati, and Liza had moved away to Chicago a few years ago, and they've really kind of grown apart in their friendship. They're just geographically at different points and also at different points in their lives. Molly's got a husband and small children, and Liza is kind of single in the city. And they used to be so close, and they just aren't anymore, so they try to reconnect over a video chat. And it starts out kind of awkwardly, and then it's finally warming up between them. And Molly, one of her children, starts calling for her, and she leaves the room. And then Liza sees something that no one was supposed to see that's captured in the video call. And when she confronts Molly about it, Molly almost kind of gaslights her, but acts like what she saw wasn't that big of a deal, or maybe she didn't see it after all. And I think things between them very quickly go from, gosh, I don't even feel like I know you anymore, to, gosh, I'm not sure I even want to know you anymore. Liza just knows that something is really wrong, and Molly doesn't want to talk to her about it. And that's kind of the catalyst for the whole story. Usually when I develop a story, it comes from themes or central questions that I've been thinking about for a long time. But with Forget You Know Me, I just had this idea for this opening scene where a video call could capture something, which really in real life, I would imagine maybe that sometimes that does happen, not the specific instance in the book, but, you know, where I just had the idea of the call capturing this event. And so I didn't even necessarily recognize it as a novel idea, but it just would not let me go. And then when I started spinning it, I realized that it could be a good jumping off point for me to write about some other themes that I've been thinking about.
The novel opens up with the addition of men in these women's lives, and relationships get pretty complicated. So I think that's true of your other novels, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to learn from you what you want us to learn or take away from this exploration of, you know, largely what happens between friends, spouses, focused on adult relationships, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of a character without thinking of them in terms of their relationships, right? Whether it's a real person or a fictional person, I just think that they sort of define us and shape us. In Almost Missed You, I wrote a lot about motherhood, and Not That I Could Tell, I wrote a lot about friendship, really specifically neighbors in that book. And I think in Forget You Know Me, I was kind of playing with the idea of relationships that get to this point where they've started to fizzle, and whether you can turn that around. You know, I think I'm turning 40 this year, but I think I, at least where I am in my life, I've moved past that stage where everybody's getting married and everybody's having kids, to that point where, you know, some people start getting divorced, or the people who you think of, as in the case in this story, the people who you think of as your best friends are actually people who you haven't seen in quite a long time, you know, particularly if, you know, life has just taken you in very different places. And it's nice when you get back together, if you can pick up where you left off, but at the same time, when you're not as big of a part of one another's day-to-day lives, what that can do to a relationship. And so in this book, we have Molly and Liza and their friendship having grown apart, and then we will quickly find out that Molly's marriage is also sort of at a breaking point where she's been dealing with a lot of issues without the very constant support of her husband. And so, you know, can either of them turn that around? And do they even want to? And when a relationship has grown apart, how do we turn that, reverse that, or can we?
I want to switch now to this exciting new adventure you have for 2019. You're going to be writer in residence at the library. I'm curious about whether you get to shape the job. Are there expectations? What do you look forward to in this work?
You do get to shape it a little bit, but there are also expectations. So for anyone who's not familiar, this is the fifth year of the Writer-in-Residence program that's funded by the Library Foundation. And it's a really generous program that they put on for aspiring writers and avid readers alike in Cincinnati. Through the program, the selected writer will be delivering, which is me this year, will be delivering free workshops throughout the year at the library for writers. I will have monthly office hours, which I believe will be at the Sharonville Branch Library on the fourth Tuesday of every month, but people should check the library website for dates. But during those hours, writers could come and talk to me about their ideas or where they are in their career, bring some pages, anything they like. Please come and see me, because otherwise I'll be sitting there by myself with my laptop, and I spend enough time doing that. I'll be taking over as the host of the library's podcast, which is called Inside the Writer's Head, doing some blogging on their website about my process. So all of those things are the requirements of the job, but what I actually bring to the workshops and what the content of the podcast is and things like that are kind of up to me. So I'm actually going to be doing workshops through my affiliation with Writer's Digest. I've been doing it, you know, national writing conferences for years, and people pay, you know, hundreds of dollars to register for those. And here, you know, the library makes it possible for people to come for free. So I'll be teaching about characters, and I'll be sharing stories of the biggest lessons I've learned through my time as editorial director of the magazine when I did that for 10 years. So it's a really great program, and I'm really excited to get connected with writers in my own backyard on that level that I've been doing on a bigger scale for a few years now. I'm really excited to kind of bring it home and develop those connections here.
So you have an interesting day job. You're a wife and mom. You are an author and already into your next book, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be doing this writer in residency. So I'm wondering, when do you write and why do you write?
Actually, my day job used to be at Writer's Digest, and I used to write at night. And now I get to write when the sun is up, which is a great relief after years of not getting very much sleep. You know, I put my kids on the bus off to school, and I write as much as I can during the day. Sometimes I do pull my computer back out at night, but I really consider that my full-time job. My involvement, editor-at-large at Writer's Digest, is very project-based. I do a lot of consultation and things like that for them, but it's not particularly time intensive. So it kind of is my full-time gig now, and I can shift gears, but I did just sign another 2-novel contract for St. Martin's Press, who've published all of my novels so far. So I'll be doing that for the foreseeable future. And why I write, you know, it's funny when something that starts out as a passion of yours does kind of turn into your job. It's the best case scenario, but it's also a little bit, you know, okay, what is my hobby going to be now? But I think when I really first, it was a creative outlet in a way, particularly when my kids were babies. They're 5 and 7 now, but it was kind of me time, kind of a creative escape when I started it. And now there's obviously a much more business aspect of it, but it still is very much what it started out as for me. You know, I get cranky if I'm not working on something new. I kind of start to get sort of itchy fingers, itching to get back at the keyboard. I think I'm just happier when I'm writing.
It's wonderful of you to take time to visit with us tonight, too.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Good to be with you. I've been talking with Jessica Strasser about her latest book, Forget You Know Me, and her upcoming year as writer in residency at the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.